Good evening, truth seekers. Malloy here on the Nova M Radio Network. How you doing tonight? Okay? You still alive? Yeah, me too. That's always a good sign, you know, when 9 o'clock Eastern time rolls around and we check in and most of us are still alive. Well, damn. Little program note, tomorrow night, Vince Bugliosi will be on the program to talk about his latest book, in which he suggests Bush be tried for murder, which I think is a capital idea, since the U.S. House is going to ignore the work that Dennis Kucinich did in introducing a resolution containing 35 articles of impeachment. More on that in a second. And speaking of the giggling killer, no, not Kucinich, Bush, El Presidente held a presser with German Chancellor Angela Merkel today. No, he didn't give her a back rub, although there was a photograph circulating out there from the Associated Press where he did have his hands on her. Incredible, this guy, right? Anyway, all that means moron sounds on the program tonight. So stick around. Some of it is, check your gag reflex. We'll let you know when we're about to play it. And it's amazing stuff. Kucinich, I think there was a vote in the House today. I may be wrong. I saw this at Democratic Underground, but there's no attribution. Where this was recorded, and other than Democratic Underground, I don't have another source, but apparently the vote was 251 yes, impeach him, or refer the resolution on to the Judiciary Committee. 251 said yes, send it on. 156 said no. If that vote taken today is correct, it means absolutely nothing. As they've done previously, Democratic leaders have definitely, staunchly opposed Kucinich's impeachment effort against, Cheney, against Bush. And leaders in the House expect to table the resolution in referring it to the Judiciary Committee, where they expect it to die. House Majority Leader Steny Hoyer suggested that engaging in a lengthy debate over impeaching Bush in the waning days of his administration is not a productive use of the House's time. Miserable bastards. Well, I have an idea, and it's not my idea. It comes from a faithful and devout listener to this program who passed this idea on to Representative Wexler. And the idea is this: as an alternative to impeachment hearings, maybe what we should do, what the House should do, is a repeat of the 1973 Sam Ervin Watergate hearings. Call them the 2008. Just pick one of the crimes this rat bastard has committed. Let's just say the Valerie Plame, because that one contains obstruction of justice and violation of his oath of office. So just convene a special committee on the events, on the events surrounding the release of Valerie Plame's name and the subsequent cover-up and the lies and deceptions that were perpetrated by Bush and Cheney. And if you'll remember, for those of, well, Jesus, who am I talking to? Some of you weren't even born. I remember clearly that year. Was it 73, I guess. Driving around the South, doing what I was doing at the time, listening on NPR, the Watergate Committee hearings, the Joint Committee on Watergate. It was there were Democrats and Republicans, and it was on the committee, and it was headed by Senator Sam Ervin from North Carolina, and it was fascinating to listen to. But those hearings were not impeachment hearings. All they were, or I shouldn't say all they were, what they were hearings designed to find out what happened where it concerned the Watergate break-in at the Democratic National Committee headquarters in that hotel complex in D.C. As a result of those hearings, it became a precursor. The hearings became a precursor to impeachment. There were never impeachment hearings against Dick Nixon. What happened was the Watergate Committee, the Select Committee on Watergate, found evidence of five or six articles of impeachment that could have been introduced to the House Judiciary Committee, where they then would have taken testimony, built their case, and then presented it to the Senate. None of that happened. Nixon cut and ran before that could happen because the son of a bitch knew he was guilty. Now, the same thing could be done where it concerns Bush. Remember, it was the committee, the Ervin Committee, the Watergate hearings, that preceded any impeachment activity at all, and it was those hearings that uncovered the White House tapes and the John Dean testimony. Remember? Those were not impeachment hearings. Now, a select committee taking testimony on one aspect of Bush's criminal history for the past 7.5 years, and I take the Valerie Plame case simply because in just knowing the history of the case, there is ample evidence, there's prima facie evidence that Bush obstructed justice, that he lied, not under oath, because the rat bastard won't go under oath. The obstruction charge is enough to get him removed from office, or at least to get him impeached. And God only knows what kind of slimy things will crawl out from under the rocks that a special committee hearing testimony, I mean hard-ass testimony, subpoena power, drag the bastards in, kicking and screaming, I don't care who they are, bring them in. If they're not brought in, jail them. Now, that type of a hearing and the evidence that would be produced would put so much pressure on Reid and Pelosi that they could not then continue to wipe themselves with the U.S. Constitution, which is exactly what they're doing. It just makes me furious when I think of Nancy Pelosi in light of everything that's out there. And now Steny Hoyer, another one of these scum-sucking corporate Democrats, who says, well, the remaining time of the U.S. House can be used in a more constructive way. And what would that be, Mr. Hoyer? You sons of bitches in the House and the Senate can't pass anything because of your cowardice. You can't get anything even past a resolution to bring it to the floor for debate because the Republicans refuse to go along with it. You can't get 60 votes for anything. What the hell are you talking about that you have more important things to do, Mr. Steny Hoyer? So here's the answer then. It's very simple, isn't it? Huh? Now, Who should? I don't know how the House rules are. Does Nancy Pelosi have to designate this special committee, select committee, on the crimes committed against Valerie Plame and Joe Wilson? Huh? Isn't that a great idea? Yeah, you know where that one's going to go? That's right. 100 miles an hour right into that goddamn brick wall that the Democratic Party has set up. Oh, well.
Over again, would you be perfectly happy? jump into our friends.
Out, join your friends at the NSA and Homeland Security and listen to Mike Malloy every single night. They never miss a minute.
21 past the hour. Okay, rawstory.com has whatever confirmation we need. I think CNN does, and also, of course, you can go to the house.gov site. According to Raw Story, the vote was 251 to 166. That was the motion to send this resolution on to the Judiciary Committee for review. Now, obviously, there are only 225 Democrats in the House. That means about 25 Republicans and a couple of independents, or at least one, voted along with the Democrats, which doesn't mean anything. That doesn't mean there are 24 Republicans who want to see this bastard impeached. Every single Republican in the House, with the possible exception of two or three from the Northeast, are criminal co-conspirators with this bastard. It was a maneuver on the part of the Republicans to try to force an open debate on the House floor, which would just be an attempt on the part of these scum to embarrass the Democratic leadership. That's all they care about. There is nothing in the Republican Party that is about governance, honesty, justice, truth, none of it. They are games playing little rat bastards who, if Republicans, voters, if Republican citizens of the United States, as sick as they must be in order to vote Republican, to vote for this kind of mismanagement, forget the political philosophies here. Average Americans are not corporatists, even Republicans. They really are not, but these Republicans don't understand what the Republican Party is all about. It is about ending representative government and replacing it with a corporate state. And that's sad. That is so incredibly sad and anger-producing. It makes me furious to think that millions of my fellow citizens don't understand what the Republican Party has become. Son of a bitch. I just don't get you people. If you want to be Republican, be Republican. But why not kick out the people who are trying to destroy our system of government? What is wrong with you? Oh, never mind. Jesus. So anyway, what the Republicans in the House, the 24-25, who were designated to go ahead and vote for the Kucinich's resolution, because that's how they work. You know, they take turns trying to screw up the application of the United States Constitution every time a vote comes up in the House, whether it's procedural or otherwise. That's all Republicans in the Congress, House or Senate, are good for any longer. They have made such a miserable pile of cow dung of our system of government in cahoots with Bush and Cheney and all these neocon cockroaches who have been skittering around inside this government, causing us to go to this war and this situation and that situation. You know what I'm talking about. Democratic leaders in the House seem determined to block this. Just like they blocked the resolution aimed at Dick Cheney. They got that impeachment measure in November. And under the tight, astute leadership of John Conyers. What the hell is wrong with Conyers? Oh, he seems to be every liberal's favorite, right? John Conyers. Who plunks his ass in front of the Constitution and shall not be moved. Kind of like George Wallace in the schoolhouse door at the University of Alabama, right? There he is, John Conyers. No, well, the guy banished to a basement broom closet by this pig in the White House. Remember that a couple of years ago? So there sits Conyers. Why doesn't Conyers get into a discussion with Hoyer and Pelosi, and say, look, let me tell you something right now. We're going to start this impeachment hearing. If you two don't like it, kiss my black ass. Why doesn't he do that? Why doesn't Conyers do it? I don't know why either. So there it sits, the Cheney impeachment resolution and now the Bush impeachment resolution. And it will sit there and they will do nothing while this criminal regime that runs this country continues to wag its middle finger at the American public. And every single voting Republican in this country, what, again, always, forever, what the hell is wrong with you people? You are not corporatists. You will never sit at the table with the big shots. You're never going to have a damn thing. You want to live like a Republican, vote for the Democrat. Haven't you ever heard that? But there you sit, you idiots. And continue, well, I'm going to vote for John McCain. Why? Well, because he wears a flag pin in his lapel. That's about how sensible you sound. This is a dumbass that didn't even know that Putin was the president of Russia. he was a oh, never mind. Oh God, why do I get this worked up? It makes no sense at all. So I'm suggesting then, vis-a-vis the email from someone whom I trust very deeply, let's have a select committee on Valerie Plame case. And then see if Steny Hoyer and Nancy Pelosi can say no to impeachment as that evidence tumbles out. Eh? What do you think? To believe the unbelievable. Say we should accept the unacceptable. The pious and the hip. So hypocritical. High crimes and misdemeanors. High crimes and misdemeanors. High crimes and misdemeanors.
Your Day Screaming with Mike Malloy on Nova M Radio.
It's about 25 before the hour. Judy in Boston just sent this in. It is a diary entry from Op-Ed News by the writer who calls himself George Washington. According to constitutional scholar Bruce Fine, Nancy Pelosi has threatened the removal of Michigan Representative John Conyers from his chairmanship of the House Judiciary Committee if an impeachment inquiry were even opened. Why would Pelosi take impeachment off the table and threaten Conyers so he wouldn't initiate impeachment proceedings, the blogger writes? Well, Pelosi, George Washington says, was secretly tipped off about warrantless spying on Americans and torture many, many years ago, and yet did nothing to stop these unlawful programs. Moreover, the writer says, Pelosi hid from the 9/11 Commission and the American people the fact that the interrogations of 9/11 suspects were videotaped and that the alleged confessions of those held at Gitmo were wholly unreliable. She could have stopped the whole farce cold, but chose to go along with it. No wonder Pelosi wants to make sure that impeachment is off the table and no real investigation into White House crimes are launched. She is herself a criminal and co-conspirator and is very interested in keeping the lid on the truth. The blogger George Washington at Op-Ed News, and Judy in Boston set that in. Now, I don't know, and I don't know if Judy has checked it out. I have no idea if that's really what happened. Let's assume that it is. If that is the case, if Nancy Pelosi has told Conyers, then he's a double coward and a double traitor. In my opinion, the man is going to sit there, the head of the House Judiciary Committee, and have the Speaker of the House tell him that if he doesn't participate in a cover-up too, she's going to fire his ass. So all this email says to me, and the blog at Op-Ed News by George Washington, is that Conyers, I have just lost about every ounce of respect I've ever had for the man. Now, what would happen Let's speculate. If Conyers said, Madam Speaker, kiss my butt, I'm going to go ahead with this, and she fired him, removed him from the chairmanship, what do you suppose, how loud do you think the screaming would be across the fruited plain, border to border, coast to coast? That would be a story even these filthy pigs that run national news, the corporate news, couldn't ignore. John Conyers removed as chairman of the House Judiciary Committee because he had the temerity to proceed with what the Constitution demands when there is evidence of high crimes and misdemeanors committed by the President of the United States. He would be removed from that? Oh, really? Mr. Conyers, you're a goddamn coward. If this story's true, you are twice as bad as I thought you were before I read this. Of course, here's the problem, truth seekers. This is the problem you have and the problem I have. We are not congressional suck-ups. We are not cowards. We would like to see the rule of law reestablished in this country after 8 years of criminal activity by the thugs that now run the United States of America. Isn't John Conyers way past retirement age? But you see, you and I are not that way. You and I would walk into a hearing room and use the kind of street language necessary to move these bastards into fulfilling the oath they took. So if Nancy Pelosi has told Conyers, and I don't know if the story is true or not. Maybe somebody at Snopes has already proved it wrong. I'm sitting here blowing hot air out of my nostrils. At this point, none of it matters. There is a conspiracy of silence among the leadership of the Democratic Party. Now, of course, we're all supposed to be good little serfs and trot out to the voting booths on Election Day this year and vote for the Democrat, right? Why? This has nothing to do with Barack Obama. He may be just as big of a phony as the rest of these people. At this point, I don't know. I am still enraptured by his rhetoric. I may be proven to be a big fool. Who knows? But I'm talking about the people who are already there. And if the House doesn't want to do it, why doesn't the Senate? Why doesn't the President of the Senate? The President of the Senate would be Dick Cheney. Why doesn't the Senate Majority Leader, Harry Reid, designate 12 senators, 8 of whom are Democrats, to start taking testimony about the Valerie Plame case? Under power of subpoena, like Sam Ervin did a generation ago where it concerned Watergate. Remember, Watergate was referred to as a third-rate burglary, and look where it went. Is not the outing of a CIA agent as important as the events that appeared to be on the surface a third-rate burglary? I hate Democrats. The Democratic leadership, they turn my stomach. Cowards, every one of you. Worse than cowards. Co-conspirators in this conspiracy of silence. It's astonishing. It's unbelievable. So now we have Kucinich and Wexler. Wexler and Kucinich. Kucinich and Wexler. And I understand maybe two or three members of the Congressional Black Caucus, whose names I don't have said, okay, yeah, we'll sign on. Which doesn't mean anything. Means nothing. Because Nancy Pelosi and Steny Hoyer and Harry Reid sit there, continuing to use the Constitution of the United States as bathroom tissue. Damn you, people. Damn you. But you see, that's the difference between you and me and them. Because you and I would walk into the next hearing of the House Judiciary Committee and stand there and let John Conyers know exactly what we as defenders of the Constitution felt about his inactivity and his cowardice. His cowardice in the face of this raging Nancy Pelosi who says, and I don't know if it's true, who says quoting the blogger, "If you touch this, Mr. Chairman, you're gone." Good God. Larry in Chicago writes, "I was 12 years old when my grandparents made me sit and watch those hearings with Sam Ervin. They said, this is history. They were right, and my interest in our democracy thrived from that day on. It makes me very sad to see so many representatives, so-called, completely ignore the Constitution. I personally would love it," Larry writes, "if we could just get beyond the Bush nightmare. But what kind of democracy ignores its own laws because they don't match the political expedience of the day? This is the obligation that our representatives are compelled to do when they swear an oath of office. History," Larry writes, "will judge this Congress very harshly. They have failed miserably in their responsibility to the citizens and to the integrity of our democracy." Larry. This is from Sydney. Subject line, "I am a wounded vet. People say, why should we impeach Bush? Why waste the time? The 5,000 dead servicemen is why. The service members whose lives have been destroyed is why." See, that's what I'm talking about. These last two, Sydney and Larry, just boom, boom, boom. Just boom, boom. These guys and the women who write to this program, the men who write to this program, you all would walk into these House hearing rooms or these Senate hearing rooms and demand that the nonsense stop if you were a member of the House or the Senate. Because you and I won't get past the front door. They will mace us so quick our hair would stick to our head like it had just been covered with mud. And we go to jail and then be locked up and charged with terrorism. But I know you, and you know me, and we know each other, and we know damn good and well that if we were members of the House or the Senate, this would not happen. Astonishing. Just astonishing. Two writes, "Mike, global warming? What global warming? Iowa now ties Oklahoma for the number of recorded F5 tornadoes." Iowa. "Statewide flooding there is now expected to crest in places 5 feet above the records set in 1993, which at the time was described as a 500-year event. And this does not include the 5 inches of rain they're expecting tonight. In many parts of the state, Iowa, only the interstate highway bridges are still open. National Guard units that are still in the state are spread thin. FEMA officials are outnumbered by con men posing as officials. You can tell them apart. Con men pretend to care. Cornfields are underwater. Don't plan on the Department of Energy meeting its ethanol goals. If you'd like some water, send a self-addressed stamped envelope in a Ziploc bag. If you'd like something to eat, you're on your own." Prairie 2 is getting very cynical. All right. There's the music. Time for a break. Stick around. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M. No one to blame, from coast to coast to Washington. Washington.
Medical Talk Radio, Make Mine Mike Malloy on Nova M.
It's about 9 before the hour. Just a couple more emails here. This is from Kathy in Arcade, New York, regarding impeachment. She writes, Mike, for what it's worth, Randy interviewed Kucinich today, and he stated that if no action is taken by the Judiciary Committee within 30 days, he will introduce the resolution again. As to why the Democrats are doing nothing about impeachment, I think there are just a few possible answers. They are A, complicit, B, without a moral compass, C, afraid for their lives, a la Tom Daschle, or D, all of the above. My money is on all of the above. Kathy in Arcade, New York. And from Detroit, Bruce writes, Mike, I'm a proud founding member with Nova M. Like your caller from last night, I believe it was Jennifer, I never leave the house without your podcast. Why I'm writing. I have some conservative co-workers, and we frequently like to pick back and forth about political issues. They are the typical conservative, at least from my experience, utterly uninformed and uninterested about what is going on outside the Detroit area, much less the rest of America or even Iraq. Yesterday, I told them about the 35 articles of impeachment. They had no idea what had happened. I had to explain how it took Kucinich damn near 5 hours to read the long list of high crimes and misdemeanors perpetrated against United States citizens and others. They just laughed and said that impeachment would never happen. Sadly, I agreed. Then something amazing happened. They attempted to, quote, attack the messenger, end quote, by sending me a list that they put together of Kucinich's record. The crazy thing is, I don't see a damn thing wrong with this list. And then Bruce includes what these freaks sent him. Among the things that they feel is a bad thing, that Kucinich was in favor of banning the death penalty, cutting the Pentagon budget 15% to provide for tuition-free college. He voted against drilling in Alaska. He voted to raise CAFE standards from 27.5 miles a gallon to 45. He opposes the use of war as an instrument of policy. He voted to repeal the Patriot Act. It just goes on and on here. And then Bruce writes, this is supposed to be their rebuttal to Kucinich? We have a long way to go, Mike. People don't understand because they're not informed. Keeping it lit, Bruce from Detroit. It's just really, really amazing. I especially am freaked out. I've said this a million times. I expect Republican voters in this country to be horribly ill-informed and wandering around like headless zombies where it concerns what's going on politically in this country. But, you know, I still, and apparently this is a huge error on my part. God knows I've had enough people tell me this in the emails, especially from my socialist or communist friends. You know, apparently I am still just utterly and absolutely a naive naif wandering through the wilderness of the American political system, not realizing that Democrats and Republicans are exactly the same. And that may be true. That may be true. But I wouldn't call what I feel and think and witness for as being naivete. I would call it maybe, you know, maybe a dead dream. I don't know. I've always believed that the Democratic Party had the courage and the spine and the wherewithal and the decency and the commitment to truth and justice, especially justice, to bring about, if not absolute solutions, at least beginnings to solutions, right? I've always believed that, ever since I've been a kid. Well, okay, not a kid. Ever since I've been a teenager. Because I'm old enough to remember back in the 50s how the votes were going about racial inequity in this country. I remember some of that stuff. I remember going to school the day after the news broke that Emmett Till had been butchered down in Mississippi. See, I remember that. I remember that. I remember how everybody reacted. So, no, I don't consider myself to be naive or a naif. And it really pisses me off, frankly, when I get those kinds of emails, the luxury ones about, you know, there's no difference. Look, George Wallace was saying that 40 years ago. right before he got shot, that there's not a dime's worth of difference between Republicans and Democrats. And then Wallace went on to win the Wisconsin primary. Remember all that? Huh? Do you remember? You remember 68? Hell of a year. Whoo, my goodness. But I was educated, self-educated in politics to believe that the Democratic Party was the political organization in this country, not the Republicans, not the communists, not the socialists, not the libertarians, not any other ism, but the Democratic Party, because it allowed for a kind of a free enterprise system that had powerful checks and balances to make sure that things didn't wind up the way they've wound up now. When I was a kid growing up, the variant between the guy or the gal who worked on the shop floor and the CEO of the company was a factor of maybe 40. What is it now? A factor of 600? All right, we'll be back after the break. Stick around. We have a lot of stuff to do here tonight. We'll try to get your calls as we can. I'm Mike Molloy. This is Nova M. Welcome back. It's about 7 past the hour. This is the Nova M Radio Network. My name is Mike Molloy. A couple more items here. The Washington Post noted the other day that Liz Cheney, daughter of Dick, is, quote, unhappy with key elements of U.S. Mideast policy, end quote. She said of the Bush administration in remarks to the AIPAC convention last week, quote, "We have been less effective and less successful when we have been, unfortunately, not so bold," end quote. Well, right away you want to scream into her face, what the hell are you talking about? Less effective? Where have we been effective and successful, Ms. Cheney? She went on, Liz Cheney, at the AIPAC convention, encouraged the U.S. to draw more what she referred to as red lines in the Middle East, and that we should adopt an even harder line than the Bush administration has adopted on key policies thus far. Liz Cheney, in her remarks to AIPAC, said the, quote, "Time for diplomacy," end quote, with Iran is, quote, "rapidly coming to an end," end quote. Now, left unmentioned in the Washington Post story, but quoted in the Asia Times, is the fact that Liz Cheney also said the United States also needs to threaten Iran with, quote, "military action," end quote. See, up to this point, all we've done is sponsor terrorist groups inside their country, sent U.S. Military personnel inside their country, put off the coast of their country 3 full naval battle groups. But Liz Cheney is suggesting that we go ahead and threaten Iran with military action. Here's the full quote, the one that the Washington Post, media whores that they are, left out. Quote, she, well, not quote yet. She deplored the Bush administration's failure to enforce the red lines against Iranian advances in the region. Washington, she declared, must clearly state that if Iranians, quote, don't give up diplomatically to the UN demands that it freeze its nuclear program, they will face military action, end quote. Liz Cheney also said in her speech in front of AIPAC, she made clear her view that the recent efforts by Bush and Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice to broker an Israeli-Palestinian peace deal are, quote, taking resources away from dealing with Iran, end quote. Can you believe this? Now, I'm real tempted to unleash on this woman, but I'm not going to, because, except to say, the rotten, filthy, worm-infested fruit doesn't fall very far from the tree. This is Dick Cheney's daughter, and listen to her. Astonishing. And McCain? Our military correspondent Sharon sent this in. She writes, I'm really starting to dislike McCain. That's supposed to be a joke. I can't understand why he has so little regard for the lives of our soldiers and their families. For him to want to keep them over there in the Middle East is a betrayal that I can't understand. Is he aware of how overstretched our Army and Marine Corps are? To quote George McGovern, quote, I'm sick and tired of old men dreaming up wars for young men to die in, end quote. John McCain, Sharon writes, is one of those old men. And what she's referring to, from vetvoice.com, another one of Brandon Friedman's entries, about McCain, this was today. McCain showed once again this morning that he doesn't get the big picture when it comes to the current conflicts in Iraq and Afghanistan. From the Today Show, Matt Lauer said, a lot of people now say the surge is working. McCain, anyone who knows the facts on the ground say that. Lauer, if it's working, Senator, do you now have a better estimate of when American forces can come home from Iraq? McCain, no, but that's not too important. What's important is the casualties in Iraq. Americans are in South Korea. Americans are in Japan. American troops are in Germany. That's all fine. End quote. Now, as Brandon Friedman wrote today, the first question that pops into your head is, what do the troops in Iraq think of a statement like that? It's not important. Okay, don't screw up his quote, Mike. Okay, it's not too important. In answer to the question, when can American forces come home from Iraq? No, it's not too important. This is the kind of talk, as Friedman points out, that devastates American troops. How do you maintain, devastates their morale. How do you maintain morale? How do you maintain the idea you're going to get home to see your family again, you're somehow going to come out of this alive, and for probably 95% of the soldiers that go over there, all young, for the most part, they don't believe they're going to be wounded either. You see, when you're young, you're surrounded by a magical shield. It's your buddy who gets half his brain blown away. It's the guy in the next squad that loses his legs. It's somebody else who is disemboweled. But you are going to be okay. So what do these soldiers think? Who are living inside that illusion of invincibility, personal invincibility, not because they're U.S. Army, but because they're young. How does this statement from John McCain resonate with these young military guys and gals who are over there? Huh? What do they think? McCain says it doesn't matter. It's not too important. It's hard to realize that this waste of a human being is... Well, no, it's not. He's a Republican, so... What else we got? Paul writes this regarding oil stuff. Mike, just to add to a previous email, since they are blathering about oil again, Americans cannot get it through their skull that drilling in the Alaska National Wildlife Refuge will necessarily provide more oil for the United States. It won't. Unlike Mexico, Venezuela, and the Persian Gulf states, there is no national policy that provides for the domestic needs of this country. More oil coming out of the ground means more oil to put on the world market. It's just coming from our source. Does this mean that no oil will make it to the refineries? No, but there is no guarantee that it has to either. There already has been drilling off our East Coast during the early 80s. It is not commonly known because the huge rigs were operating 50 miles off the coast of New Jersey. There were gas hits that have since been capped. Exploratory drilling was also done off Cape Cod, again, out of sight. I operated one of the supply vessels that tended these rigs. Before we start offering more oil to the world market, our outsourcers have created, we had better establish a protective domestic supply mandate, one way or the other. If we do not, we're screwed. Free enterprise is one thing. Using the country as a whorehouse is another matter altogether. Paul. Woo. Say it like it is, bro. Now, on the heels of that, the head of BP, chief executive of British Petroleum, told The Guardian of the UK, his name is Tony Hayward, he insisted that the world has enough oil reserves. He says, what does he say here? He says there's enough to last another 40 years. I'm trying to find the direct quote, but my eyes are going all glassy here. Oh, here it is. An increasing number of oil industry commentators have put forward the view that peak oil has now been reached, or shortly will be. But this guy, the head of British Petroleum, says that proved oil reserves at 1.24 trillion barrels are enough to meet current production for 41 years. Now, of course, that doesn't take into account what continued degradation of the atmosphere is going to do. And what happens, Tony, in year 42? Eh?
Snuggle up with your favorite screamer.
All right. Okay, lady. Be quiet. We need some new equipment. 21 past the hour, almost 22 past the hour. Both Judy and Amy have emailed in now. The article by Bruce Fine is at slate.com. We will post the URL to that article when the program's over tonight, the one where Pelosi has threatened John Conyers. What else do I have here? Oh, yeah. Testifying today at the Senate judiciary hearing on torture, or as it is euphemistically called, coercive interrogation techniques, former FBI Special Agent Jack Clunan deplored those techniques for being, in his words, not effective. And he said the perception that the U.S. tortures detainees has, quote, helped to recruit a new generation of jihadist martyrs, end quote. George W., I'll tell you something, truth seeker. Of course, you know this. Bush and Cheney have done more than any two people in the history of this republic to put this nation and every one of us at dire physical risk. It's just stupefying how much danger they have put this nation in. And Nancy Pelosi says impeachment's off the table. Son of a bitch. This is what Special Agent Jack Clunan, former FBI Special Agent Jack Clunan, said today, among other things. Quote, based on my experience in talking to al-Qaeda members, I am persuaded that revenge in the form of a catastrophic attack on the homeland, that's our homeland, is coming. That a new generation of jihadist martyrs, motivated in part by the images from Abu Ghraib, is, as we speak, planning to kill Americans. And that nothing gleaned from the use of coercive interrogation techniques will be of any significant use in forestalling this calamitous eventuality. Holy God. He goes on to say later, quote, if I were the director of marketing of al-Qaeda and intent on replenishing the ranks of jihadists, I know where my first piece of marketing collateral would be. It would be a blast email with an attachment. The attachment would contain a picture of Private England pointing at the stacked naked bodies of the detainees at Abu Ghraib. This picture screams out for revenge, and a day of reckoning will come. End quote. Agent Clunan also repeatedly emphasized to the Senate Judiciary Committee a hearing today that the rapport-building method of interrogation is, in his words, more effective, efficient, and reliable than coercive techniques. Now, of course, you know how conservatives, Republicans, mock the idea of rapport building, so-called, in order to get the kind of information you want. That's because Republican members of Congress and Republican members of this administration and all the advisors, the neocon advisors to this corrupt administration, every single one is a bedwetting coward, an absolute thumb-sucking bedwetting coward. Torture him! Torture him! Good Lord. So that testimony from a former FBI agent who sat in on and or witnessed these interrogation techniques and declares them not only useless in the sense of getting information, but very useful in getting a new generation of jihadists to sign up for the cause. You can't do this to people. You can't do this to people. What would happen if we were, if we saw Americans being treated the way we have treated these detainees in Afghanistan, in Iraq, in Guantanamo? What would we do, huh? Most of us, regardless of our age and gender, would probably sign up to go kill the sons of bitches who are doing this to us, wouldn't we? Show us a picture of Americans, young citizens, not military, just young citizens who were swept up in a dragnet by, pick an army. Oh, I don't know, maybe Muslims. How would that be? Swept up in a dragnet, dumped into prisons, tortured, hanged, brutally attacked, stacked naked in piles. What would you do? You know what you would do. I don't care how old you are. I don't care what your feelings are about this country. This would be people from your tribe who are being brutally humiliated and murdered at the hands of a fascistic organization determined to subject you to the worst forms of humiliation that they could think of. What would you do, Truth Seeker? What would you do? What would you do? Huh? Where's my VCR, my stereo?
next best thing to an impeachment hearing. It's Mike Malloy on Nova M Radio.
Six before the hour, Lydia in Phoenix writes, please remind your listeners, Mike, that inherent in supporting our military and veterans is the responsibility to hold their elected officials accountable for the refusal to impeach or even investigate the Bush administration. If anyone lacks the courage to do this, then I invite your listeners to visit their nearest VA hospital to get a glimpse of our men and women who served, and especially our combat veterans, and who paid the price daily for the remainder of their lives. Political affiliation is a privilege that continues to be ensured by our military personnel and veterans. Put your duty as an American before your political allegiance and put your actions ahead of your speech. Disabled veteran and proud of it, Lydia in Phoenix. Republicans don't go visit disabled vets. Pakistan says U.S. airstrike killed 11 of its soldiers. The Pakistani army, is condemning this attack, calling it unprovoked and cowardly. The Pakistani military said the attack and the subsequent deaths, quote, hit at the very basis of cooperation, end quote, and referred to this as an act of aggression. Also, Afghan leaders said 2 days ago, this is from the Daily Times of Pakistan, that the American and North Atlantic Treaty Organization troops, NATO troops and American troops, should leave Afghanistan because they are responsible for creating unrest in the country. A one-day seminar entitled The Afghan Imbroglio, Problems and the Way to Peace. There was that one-day seminar, and representatives from Afghanistan released a statement, quote, the real factor behind the unending war and instability in Afghanistan is the presence of foreign troops. They must leave the country and let Afghans establish a government of their choice. And, of course, in Iraq, the people of Iraq want us out. This is from Reuters. A majority of the Iraqi parliament has written to Congress, our Congress, rejecting a long-term security deal with Washington if it is not linked to a requirement that U.S. forces leave. The letter to the leader of Congress said in part, quote, the majority of Iraqi representatives strongly reject any military, security, economic, commercial, agricultural investment or political agreement with the United States that is not linked to clear mechanisms that obligate the occupying American military forces to fully withdraw from Iraq, end quote. Nadeem Al-Jaberi, a co-founder of one of the political parties, speaking through a translator, said, quote, what are the threats that require U.S. forces to be here? He went on to say, I would like to inform you there are no threats on Iraq. We are capable of solving our own problems. End quote. He favored a quick pullout of U.S. forces. A Sunni lawmaker said bilateral talks on a long-term security deal should be shelved until American troops leave and until there is a new government in Washington. Do you hear that? He said, quote, we prefer to delay until there is a new administration in the United States. So Afghanistan and Iraq are asking us to get the hell out of their country. Didn't Bush or one of these murderous bastards that run the United States say at some point, we'll be there until they want us to go. If they ask us to go, we'll go. We are building a legacy of just red-eyed murderous revenge. And were I a citizen of one of these countries, or if I were a religious fanatic resident of one of these countries, for the rest of my life, no matter how old I was, my sole intent would be to wreak some sort of death and destruction on the great Satan, the United States. I would dedicate my life to it. Now, how many people who live in these countries and who are, according to your definition, my definition, a general definition, religious fanatics, not unlike the Christian fanatics that think they own and operate the United States, how many of those Islamic or Muslim fanatics are produced every single day? What did the FBI, former FBI special agent, say before the Senate today? They're being created an entire generation who is going to be dedicated to the proposition that the only good American is a dead American, or an American who watches its child being murdered, or its home being blown away. This is what George Bush and Dick Cheney have handed us. This is what they've given us. This is what a Barack Obama is going to have to try to repair. Wow. This is what Bush and Cheney have done. Son of a bitch. This is astonishing. This is what they've given us. This is what you and I... how old are you? Are you in your 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s? Let me tell you something, Truth Seeker. This is something that you and I are going to have to deal with for the rest of our lives. If you are 22 years old listening to this program, you are going to have to face this for the next 60 years. Do you understand that? What Bush and Cheney have done. This revenge thing. And when you're 82 and your great-grandchildren are gathered around you, 22-year-old tonight, they are going to have to deal with it too. Do you think that the people in these areas of the world that we have gone into and wreaked death and destruction, do you think they are diverted by television? Do you think that they give a tinker's damn about what goes on except what happened to their family? The wedding party, the birth process, the old people, everything that was going on when those missiles and bombs came raining in and murdered them. Do you think they're going to forget that? Do you think they'll forget it 100 years from now? Then you are a fool. You are a fool. That's not how the rest of the world works. That's how this part of the world works. Not the rest of the world. Look, stop the next 100 people on the street and ask them their opinion of the 4 decisive battles where it concerned the independence of the United States from Great Britain. And watch them go blank. Then go to Afghanistan, Iraq, Iran, Syria, the occupied territories. I'd go anywhere, Saudi Arabia, go anywhere in the Middle East. Go to Turkey, go to Armenia, go wherever you want to go and ask them the 4 most decisive battles involving their country in the past 500 years. And then prepare yourself to sit down and listen for the next 3 or 4 days, because not only will they tell you about those battles, they will tell you what families fought against who, and this brother and that great uncle, and this one and that one, and blah, 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 on and on and on. Do you think these people are going to forget that we incinerated their children, that we blew them into red mist, that we bombed their villages, that we killed their people? Do you think? Do you really think that? Do you? Of course you don't. When you think about it at all, because you are not stupid, are you, Truth Seeker? I don't consider myself stupid. And when I think about this, I think, holy Jesus Christ, this means my grandchildren. Grandchildren of mine that are not yet born are going to have to deal with this. This is what George Bush and Dick Cheney and this corrupt Republican Party and the corrupt Democrats who have enabled this, this is what they've given us. This is George Bush's legacy. And speaking of his legacy, he's a little bit worried about that. And we're going to get to the sound right after this break, as a matter of fact. Oh, by the way, Iraqi Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki sought to reassure Iran over a planned security pact with Washington yesterday, vowing that Iraq would never be used as a platform to attack Iran. Never. Never. Really? Make you paranoid, can make you maladjusted, a person to avoid. You rave against the terrorists, then murder like they do. You even claim the peaceniks terrorizing you. Your old friends and allies, you see as enemies. It's mighty, freaking, dangerous, mad cowboy disease. Mad cowboy disease, mad cowboy disease.
Boom, boom, boom. Bang, 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 bang. Boom, 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 boom. Bang, 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 bang. I love the way you walk, and I love the way you talk. When you walk that walk, and you talk that talk.
It's okay, Republicans. The pain will be over soon. Take a deep breath. Find your happy place. It's more of Mike Malloy.
Yeah, well, what about us Democrats? Is our pain going to be over soon? Amy sent this in. It's from Fox News website. High-ranking Democratic Representative Elsie Hastings, who was himself impeached while a federal judge in Florida, said today he was not happy with Kucinich's attempt to raise the matter on the floor in an attempt to circumvent the normal legislative process. Hastings said, quote, Kucinich is on a quest of his own. He sees flying saucers, and he acts like one, end quote. I'll be damned. This is a Democrat who survived impeachment, Elsie Hastings. I remember when this happened. It was about 20 years ago. He was a federal judge on the west coast of Miami, where, I don't know, somewhere down there, West Palm, Lauderdale, someplace. He was impeached, but he wasn't convicted. And now he says Kucinich is on a quest of his own. He sees flying saucers and he acts like one. This is from a Democrat. This is why so many Democrats in ranking positions in the U.S. Congress just make me want to vomit. And Elsie Hastings happens to be one. And here's the galling part. I can remember when this case occurred. I forget what he was charged with, fraud or I don't know, graft, corruption, whatever the hell it was. But I can remember defending him on the air. I never talked to the guy, but I can remember thinking that the case against him was rather dodgy, that was probably pelletized with racism because Elsie Hastings is a black man, and how dare he be a federal or a judge? I think he was a federal judge. Maybe he was a state court. No, I think he was a federal judge in Florida. How dare he do that? And I can remember just getting my bloomers all in a wad that they had gone after him. And now Elsie Hastings says Kucinich is on a quest of his own. He sees flying saucers and he acts like one. Oh, Elsie Hastings, shame on you. This is what Kathy shares the mini blog with me at Mike Malloy or at NovamRadio.com and MikeMalloy.com. We write one of these blogs every day, usually me, but often Kathy. This is what she wrote today. So Bush is still on his goodbye former friendly allies tour of Europe and made a surprising revelation today. He's sorry he sounded so warlike and stuff about Iraq. Yep, that's what he said. He's not sorry he ordered his minions to invade, rape, torture, steal, terrorize, wreck antiquities, and otherwise obliterate a nation that had taken no hostile action toward us. No, The tough-talking Texan from Kennebunkport, Maine, is quite pleased with all the death and destruction he caused. He's just sorry he talked about it so much. And with such enthusiasm because, you know, it made him sound like he wasn't a man of peace. And we all know how he hates to be misunderestimated. I'm not kidding. That's the latest delusional message from the decider who once said he couldn't remember if he ever tried cocaine. I believe that speculation, if nothing else, has been decided. According to Reuters, quote, U.S. President George W. Bush, visiting Europe for the last time before his presidency ends, expressed regret on Wednesday about divisions caused by the Iraq War. He said, I think that in retrospect, I could have used a different tone, a different rhetoric. That's what Bush told the Wednesday edition of the Times of London, referring to the U.S.-led invasion of Iraq. He acknowledged that phrases like bring him on and dead or alive had given the impression that he was not a man of peace. So you got to wonder, Kathy writes, does Chicken Hawk, Chuckle Nuts think the world would have hated him less or thought him a more peaceful guy if he'd served up some please and thank yous with his cluster bombs, white phosphorus, and torture chambers? As in, excuse me, small Iraqi child, would you be so kind as to cover your eyes while we rape your sister, then machine gun your parents and carpet bomb your neighborhood to cover up our war crime? Oh, thanks ever so much. A kinder, gentler mass murderer, perhaps, just like Pappy. And he cannot be serious about being considered a man of peace. Did the assembled Europeans guffaw out loud? I wonder. Did they laugh out loud at that line or just stare at him with open-jawed awe? Maybe he misspoke and meant to say he's a man of pieces. Must be the Coke. Again. Now, that's what Kathy wrote today, and we will have some sound for you. Got time for one? Let's do the first one. He held a press conference today with German Chancellor Angela Merkel. He didn't offer a massage, but anyway, he stopped to thank the Chancellor for her hospitality as only he can by praising. Well, you listen to it.
Lauren, I loved our dinner last night. For those in the German press who thought I didn't like asparagus, you're wrong. The German asparagus are fabulous. but anyway, it's a great place for to relax and have a good discussion. Our relationship is strong and our relationship is active. And I assured the chancellor that when I say I'm going to sprint to the finish, that's what I mean.
Oh, Jesus, God. And you know what is really kind of reflective of the exhaustion the world feels about this piece of human refuse? In Italy and Germany and most of the countries he's visiting, the war protesters and the people who hate this scum sucker just decided to hell with him. Why bother demonstrating again? The number of people protesting, and this is according to the protest leaders, he's history. He doesn't mean anything anymore. Well, I hope you folks are right on that one. Especially in Italy, where prior to Bush's invasion, there was a day back in 03 when 3 million Italians, 3 million, flooded the streets of Rome. Screw Berlusconi. Italians are crazy. I know I am one. The fact that they have a neo-Nazi, a neo-fascist as the head of their government, which again is beside the point. 3 million Italians. Today, or when he was in Rome, about 1,500. We'll be back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. Welcome back. 7 past the hour. Malloy here on Nova M Radio. All right. I got the corrections. From Wikipedia about Elsie Hastings. He was a lawyer and judge, Circuit Court of Broward County, Florida, United States District Court for the Southern District of Florida. He was impeached and removed from office for corruption and perjury. He's the only sixth federal judge to be impeached and removed from office in American history. What happened was in 1981, Hastings was charged with accepting a $150,000 bribe in exchange for a lenient sentence and a return of seized assets for 21 counts of racketeering by Frank and Thomas Romano and of perjury in his testimony about the case. He was acquitted by a jury, Hastings was, but too late, after his alleged co-conspirator refused to testify in court, which got the guy that refused to testify a jail sentence. But here's what happened. In 1988, 7 years later, the Democratic-controlled U.S. House of Representatives took up the case. And Hastings was impeached for bribery and perjury by a vote of 413-3. Voters to impeach included Nancy Pelosi, Steny Hoyer, John Conyers, and Charlie Rangel. He was then convicted in 1989 by the United States Senate, becoming the sixth federal judge in the history of the United States to be removed from office by the Senate. Blah, 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 blah. Now, that was in Wikipedia, and about a year and a half ago, Byron York at the National Review Online wrote the following. 18 years ago, Democratic Representative John Conyers came to believe that Elsie Hastings, at the time a federal judge in Florida, was guilty of impeachable offenses. Hastings stood accused of conspiring to take bribes, and although it is little remembered today, Conyers served as the chairman of the House Judiciary Subcommittee that investigated Hastings and unanimously recommended his impeachment. After the House voted 413-3 to impeach Hastings, Conyers went on to serve as one of the House impeachment managers who successfully argued before the Senate that Hastings should be convicted and removed from office. So there you have it. What is the difference between a chump-ass federal judge who gets caught in a bribery scandal and impeached and convicted and removed from office? What's the difference between that case and a case where a president of the United States has lied us into a war? Well, why go through the litany of charges against this rat bastard? Hey, Chairman Conyers, your buddy Dennis Kucinich introduced a resolution, I'm sure you'll take a look at some point, right, bro, that has 35 articles of impeachment. What you gonna do? Elsie Hastings got his ass caught in a ringer thanks to, among other people, you, Steny Hoyer, Nancy Pelosi, and Charlie Rangel. Which case is more important, Mr. Representative? Elsie Hastings or George Bush? All of a sudden, I don't like John Conyers anymore. Not that that matters worth a damn, but see, there you go. Back to Chuckle Nuts over there in that German place with Angela Merkel. You know, the one he tried to feel up several times. What is Bush with Bush and women? You know, at least Slick Willie, at least Bill Clinton would kind of slickery women into compromising positions. Bush just walks up and starts grabbing body parts, right? Hey, are those real? Honk. Ah, hot damn, boy, I guess they are. After expressing gratitude for the vegetables, most notably the asparagus, Bush moved on to the subject of his two favorite killing fields, Afghanistan and Iraq, thanking the Chancellor for Germany's efforts to clean up after his twin genocidal killing sprees.
First, I want to thank the German people for their contributions to helping the people of Afghanistan realize the blessings of a free society.
Oh, my God!
I know this is a controversial subject here, but I hope when the Afghanistan debates go forward, I hope people here think of young girls you know, who couldn't go to school in the past but now can, or think of mothers who bring their babies to health clinics for the first time. Think about, you know, farmers who now have got access to markets to help deal with food shortages.
No, it's hard work. Opium!
I also want to thank you for the contributions you're making to the young democracy in Iraq as well. This has obviously been a contentious issue between our countries in the past. But what shouldn't be contentious is the mutual desire to help advance freedom in the Middle East.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a great alternative to the ideology of the haters
and the murderers.
And the murderers,
yeah.
Those who espouse, you know, violent extremism to advance their agenda.
This sucker can't just can't stop talking about himself, can he? The haters and the murderers, those who espouse violent extremism to advance their agenda. This is the guy that says, look at all those Middle Eastern countries there that Dick showed me on the map. Son of a bitch. Let's go shove gun barrels down their throats and make them become democracies. In the first place, the borders of their stupid little countries right now are a complete construct. Had nothing to do with reality. But let's go on over there and shove gun barrels down their throats and torture them and beat them and carve them up. And if we get hungry enough, eat them and force them to accept what we say is the proper way to govern yourselves. Unless, of course, it's like those apostate little brown bastards over there in them occupied territories. We gave them the right to vote. Look what they did. Hamas! Freedom ain't free. We'll skip the trivial nonsense about global climate change that some of these half-assed reporters brought up. Oh, and free trade. And move on to the Q&A portion of the event. The first reporter, a German, asked about the reports from Israel that there was a plan to strike against Iran. The reporter said, Mr. President, in Israel, the press writes that Israel might well contemplate action against this threat that Iran poses to them. What would be your, you know, what are you saying, Mr. President, to the Israeli government? Can we exclude that during your term in office, military action will be taken against Iran, Mr. President?
All options are on the table. And my first choice is to solve this diplomatically.
Yeah, yeah, oh yeah.
The best way to solve it diplomatically is to work with our partners.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what we're doing.
Yeah.
And the message to the Iranian government is very clear.
Very clear.
That there's a better way forward than isolation, and that is for you to verifiably suspend your enrichment program. And the choice is theirs to make.
You notice when he talks like this, the kind of dreamy quality to his voice? All options are on the table, and my first choice is to solve this diplomatically. And the best way to solve it diplomatically is to work with our partners, and exactly what we're doing. And the message to the Iranian government, you know, just that kind of offhand, vacuous sound to his voice. Yeah, me and Dick have been sitting around contemplating how many of these Iranians would die. Yeah, it'd be a shame, wouldn't it? Well, you know, if their government doesn't stop all this saber-rattling about their nuclear programs and wiping Israel off the map, we're just going to have to kill them all. I don't know what to do. Condi said it might be at least 2 million murdered in the first airstrike. Boy, that's a lot. Yeah. But, you know, that's the way it goes. I don't know. Yeah. This is a sick son of a bitch. This is what a mass killer sounds like. Totally amoral. Totally devoid of any kind of connection to what he's talking about. Totally. Completely. Stupefyingly removed from anything regarding what he's saying. Yeah, well, you know, we sent a message to the Iranian government. It's very clear. There's a better way forward than immolation or isolation. Choice is theirs to make, you know. If they force me to pull the trigger, well, I guess I'll have to pull the trigger. Got any more asparagus? He wants it up, he wants it his way.
For the sake of peace in this world, the United States must maintain every advantage in weaponry.
Yeah. In order to maintain peace, we got to be able to kill. And as far as the Afghan mothers taking their babies to health clinics, wow, that's pretty cool. What do mothers in this country do who don't have health insurance? Because I don't think the Afghan people have health insurance, and they show up at a clinic someplace in Afghanistan, and you get my point. Back to the press conference with Angela Merkel of Germany. The next question was about the bizarre interview he gave the Times of London, specifically those statements he made about wishing he hadn't talked so tough about war and stuff because it didn't make him sound like a man of peace, you know, what Kathy wrote about today. Reporter says, Mr. President, on the way to Europe, you gave a very interesting interview for the Times. Let me digress a second. Does Bush understand that the UK is not specifically part of Europe? I bet he listened to this question and went, what's he mean there? Mr. President, on the way to Europe, you gave a very interesting interview for the Times newspaper in which you basically said that you regret your war rhetoric. Now, I'm wondering, do you actually just regret your war rhetoric? Or do you regret having gone to war with Iraq?
I don't regret it at all. Removing Saddam Hussein made the world a safer place. And, I told the guy, I said, you know, what could you do over? First of all, you don't get to do things over in my line of work. But I could have used better rhetoric to indicate that, one, we tried exhausted diplomacy in Iraq.
You lying bastard.
Two, that I don't like war.
Lying bastard.
But, no, the decision to remove Saddam Hussein was the right decision.
It's incredible. How sick is this? I don't regret it at all. No, see, he gets that dreamy sound to his voice again. There's something about death and destruction. Maybe it has to do with the death of his little sister when his parents... Is this story apocryphal or is it true? There was no funeral. He wasn't allowed to talk about it. I don't know. The four boys went on... No, we don't talk about your dead little sister. That's almost as bizarre as... who is the guy that brought home the dead baby? Senator Santorum? When his wife miscarried or gave birth to a dead baby, they brought the baby home, the dead corpse, and had the children play with it and talk to it. These goddamn people are just outside the realms of normal human development. I swear to God they are.
I just have to digress for a second on a sidebar to the Santorum thing. Not only did he bring the dead baby home for the children to touch, but he also had a photograph of the dead baby on his desk, and when people would look at it strangely because they could tell it was a picture of a dead baby, he'd point and smile and say, "That's my little guy."
Jesus God. When's it going to stop?
It's like something out of the Addams Family.
Do you regret having gone to war with Iraq? No, I don't regret it at all. I really don't. I don't regret the murder and the rape and the torture and obliteration of an innocent populace. No. I regret talking about it, but I don't regret doing it now. You know, removing Saddam made the world a safer place, yeah. Yeah, and I told the guy, you know, that reporter guy, the guy said, now, what could you do over? Well, you know, I don't like war. I like the death and the blood, but, you know, I gave up golf for the war. I mean, what the hell do you people want from me? I'm a world leader. I'm a war president. I'm an important person. It's really sick. Last one from Murderous Mensa Man. This reporter says, there's increasing controversy, Mr. Bush, in Iraq over the security agreement that's being negotiated. Some top Iraqi officials are calling for a dramatic reduction in U.S. presence. Does the direction those negotiations are going in concern you?
Well, it's all kinds of noise in their system and our system.
Noise?
What eventually went out is the truth. For example, you read stories, perhaps in your newspaper, that the U.S. is planning all kinds of permanent bases in Iraq. That's an erroneous story.
Yeah, that's erroneous.
The Iraqis will learn it's erroneous, too.
Yeah.
Were we there at the invitation of the sovereign government of Iraq.
Our puppet.
And I deal with Prime Minister Maliki.
What the hell was that?
He appreciates our presence there.
What was that?
And he understands that we're returning on success.
Returning on success.
As the situation merits and the situation improves, we're bringing our troops home.
Yeah.
And I'm pleased with the progress.
Yeah.
I don't know whether or not the progress has made it here to Germany or not yet.
What?
But the progress in Iraq is substantial.
Yeah.
And it's going to help change the Middle East for the better.
Or at least for the deader. What was that hissing sound? Can you find that? Have you got time to find that again? What was that? He says, we're there at the invitation of the sovereign government of Iraq. You got to be kidding. You're kidding, right, George? Tell me you're kidding, you dumb bastard. You bombed the bejesus out of the sovereign government run by a dictator, your family, and your predecessors established and funded. So what? What was that hissing sound? Was Cindy McCain in the background there?
Nation where the dictator treated himself to palaces with gold faucets, gold-covered AK-47s.
And by God, you asked, you got you one, didn't you? Huh? They brought you one of them things there, didn't they, George? Remember that? Remember that story? And now he has the gall to pretend as though that was offensive to him? Hell. He loved that. Man, I wish I could get me one of them. You want to try some phone calls? All right, let's do it. We had a slight problem with the phones. Had to ask people to hang up and call back in. So here we go. Let's start with Jen, who's listening in California. Jen, who's listening in California on... Okay, I guess that's not going to happen. We do have some serious problems with the phone. All right. All right. If you're on hold, we're not going to be able to take your call tonight. So let's just bail out, and we'll get you tomorrow. All right. We are having violent, violent thunderstorms here in Atlanta. Atlanta area right now, even as we speak. We've already notified our chief engineer and phone dude in Phoenix, Ian, that if we go off the air, it's not because of the NSA, it's because of the thunderstorms down here. All right, what else we got? We'll see if maybe Ian can fix it, although it may not be fixable. What else we got? This is from, this is too early. Gordon, what you sent me, Gordon, Oklahoma, this is a little bit too early. I'll get to this, though. I really will. What else we got? All right, from Bridget, our writer in residence, who has been very busy lately. She writes, "Hi, Mike. In the past, when gas prices went up, I had mixed feelings. I didn't want to pay the higher price, but I also knew that Europe paid a lot more per gallon than we ever did. And I kept thinking that maybe if the price went up a little, we'd start focusing on alternative sources of energy. Of course, that would have taken political leadership rather than politicians who are sucking on the teat of oil companies. This time, I have no mixed feelings. I'm so angry I can hardly see straight, not just because it costs me more to drive, but because this outrageous, sick profiteering will kill people and finally push us over the edge into a depression. The battle for control of Iraqi oil has already killed uncountable people. The next oil deaths are coming not in Baghdad, but in our country. not at the hands of soldiers or 19 Saudis with box cutters, but at the hands of oil companies, and worst of all, investment banks who are speculating on oil. They are unable to speculate on oil because of language slipped into other... They are able to speculate on oil because of language slipped into other legislation years ago that killed regulations on the futures industry. Remember Enron? Remember rolling blackouts in California and the cost of electricity going through the roof? Remember tapes of traders laughing about how much it was going to cost grandma for electricity? Remember how we kept being told it was all about supply and demand? Sound familiar? For any of you who know two-year-olds who are still stomping their feet and whining, "Hillary didn't win, so I'll vote for McCain," you can tell them who is largely responsible for $4-plus gasoline. That's right, the brilliant mind who slipped the clause into the bill which managed to get the futures industry deregulated and paved the way for this debacle is none other than McCain economic guru Phil Graham. Gosh, I'll bet the good senator probably got paid enough for that one to let him retire from the Senate. And what makes this egregious combination of graft and greed worse than all of the other examples we could find? This one is the nail in the coffin. The community I live in is largely a tourist community, and there aren't any tourists because they can't afford to drive to the beach for the weekend. People can't afford to drive to work if they're lucky enough to have a job. Our business depends on people having discretionary income. Guess how we're doing right now? And that's not the worst of it. This winter, people will freeze to death because they can't afford heating oil, or they'll starve because the price of food keeps going up because it costs so much more to produce because of the price of oil. Finally, we have landed in the toxic pit of fascism, the one we've been hovering over for the last number of years. Corporations running the government to make sure there are no regulations on anything they want to do. There you go, libertarians. Ron Paul lovers, this is exactly what you wanted. No government regulations on anything. And before we can say, "But Barack Obama will save us," we're going to reap the results of having sold our country out to anyone who could promise us lower prices on our widescreen televisions. I have no idea where the pendulum will swing, how many more people will lose their homes, their livelihoods, or even their lives, before we manage to muddle through this and turn this around, but I will be surprised if it really gets fixed in my lifetime. If you want to read more about what's really running the oil price insanity, Google Michael Greenberger testimony. That's Greenberger. Michael Greenberger testimony, and check out what he had to say before the Energy and Commerce Subcommittee last week about energy price manipulation. Google Michael Greenberger testimony and check out what he had to say about energy price manipulation. And then call your senators and representatives and scream. I'd suggest protesting in front of their offices, but no one could afford to drive there. I wonder if the rising oil prices will affect the price of antidepressants. Sure hope not. Maybe if the sun would come out for a few days and warm the soil enough for my vegetables to sprout, I'd be in a better mood. Bridget. Think the phones are fixed? All right, let's try Jen in California. Hey, Jen?
Yep, you can hear me?
Ah, there's Jen.
Yay, phones work.
The phones are working. Yeah, it's probably something here in the on our end of the deal because of these storms.
Well, I just want to say you're my hero sandwich, Mike. And you laugh just like my dad, so I love to hear you laugh. But Dennis Kucinich is a real hero. And
there you go.
I sat here for over 4.5 hours the other night and listened to every word he had to say.
Mm-hmm.
And I could see behind him that no one was there. And I had a friend call and wanted to talk, and I said, "I'm sorry, I got to go, because I'm watching Dennis Kucinich right now read 35 articles of impeachment against George Bush." And her response was, "Cool." And I started to cry after I hung up with her, because I realized that hardly anybody seems to notice. And I listened to you, I listened to Randy, and so maybe a lot of that is preaching to the choir. And I don't really know how many people really care. And it's just so disheartening to me to see things like Steny Hoyer saying that maybe this wouldn't be a productive use of time to go over all of these crimes that have been committed and the things that have been done to this country. And I just want to thank you for playing so much of Dennis's reading those articles the other night and making it so that it wasn't a complete news blackout.
Yeah, you know, a little secret, Jen, my playing that was, sure, it was for the audience to this program, but it was also for me. I mean, I didn't even know that that was going to happen until I got five or six emails from people who clued me in. I had no earthly idea Kucinich was going to do that. And I think on that particular day, when was it, Tuesday? No, Monday? I think I had, you know, I'd watched a certain amount of corporate news that day, but... And that's probably the reason I didn't know this was going to happen. So when it started at 20 minutes before our program went on the air, I was just sitting here like, I can't not watch this. I am sorry. I can't call my boss out in Phoenix and say I can't do the program tonight because Dennis Kucinich is reading these articles of impeachment. So the obvious solution, and I mentioned this on the air, and Kathy and I talked about it, well, let's just bag whatever we had for tonight's program and go with this all the way through.
And when I heard that you were doing that, what I was doing at the time actually was taking a nap, and Jeff Farias was on while I was sleeping. And I woke up because I heard Jeff saying that right now Dennis Kucinich is reading articles of impeachment against George Bush on the House floor. And I sat straight up and turned it straight to C-SPAN and actually got to see history and something so important that I can't understand. I understand, but I don't even want to begin to comprehend it, why this isn't a lead story instead of salmonella tomatoes.
I know. It's bad enough to have E. coli affected tomatoes.
Yeah, that's all great, but this president is worse than E. coli on the effects he is having on this country and all around the world. And I can't take this man anymore.
I hear you, Jen.
And so tonight, before I go to bed, all of my congressmen in the state of California will have a letter from me. Both my senators will also have a letter from me, even though it doesn't start there. Steny Hoyer will have a letter from me. And tomorrow I will be making phone calls to all the offices of the same people. And I know that it's not a lot, but if everybody did it that actually cares, it might be enough people to make them change their minds.
That's very true. And just don't forget, tomorrow, Jen, when you're doing all this, don't forget to breathe very deeply. Thanks
a
lot.
I'm trying.
All right. I hear you. Thanks, Jen.
Thank you, Mike.
All right. Take
care.
Good night. Good night. We'll be right back. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M. Ten before the hour, thanks to the crew who put the program together tonight. Ian Smith, Billy Foster. Ian Smith was the former head of Rhodesia. You know, when your head gets chock-a-block full of these inconsequential and no longer pertinent little facts and names and places, and you can't sort your way through them, that is the initial onset of senile dementia, I think. Ian Huff, Billy Foster, Ben Birch, Bob Alexander, Bridget Wolf, Sharon Gordy, and Catherine Bay, who is the executive producer. And a program note, Vince Bugliosi joins us tomorrow night to talk about his latest book, which suggests Bush be tried for murder. Let's go back to your phone calls. Nora is calling from Minneapolis. Nora, welcome to the program.
Oh, hey there, Michael.
Hi, Nora.
I don't think it needs to be senile dementia. It could just be brain overload, burnout.
Yeah, well, that too.
Hey, so I noticed in the late afternoon news in CNN, they mentioned that Mr. Nouri al-Maliki was discussing with his cohorts in the government about the idea of that the United States should leave. And I'm thinking that might startle McCain and his agenda, right?
Well, I think if anybody in this country were paying attention, I deliberately put myself into the torture box tonight and watched Brian Williams on NBC and then Charlie Gibson on ABC, and not a single word of Maliki or the government of Afghanistan demanding we get the hell out, even though Brian Williams is in Kabul with his tie gone and his suit coat gone. He's got his I am a correspondent in the field look about him. So, but no mention whatsoever. I'm sure it's going to shock all of them that, you know, the audacity of Maliki. You know, all Maliki wants to do, Nora, is get on with the business of forming an alliance with Iran and doing business with that country. Maliki gets along with Iran the same way Bush gets along with Angela Merkel in Germany. And they just want the U.S. to go. Get the hell out of our neighborhood. Go away.
How about that Egypt? Did you hear what the message out of Egypt?
No.
About Barack Obama? That they think if America's willing to elect...
Oh, yeah, I saw that, that there's hope for this country. Not just Egypt, all over the world, people are just holding their breath. You know, they're sitting back saying, you mean that warmongering, imperialistic, racist America has decided to nominate from the Democratic Party, a major political party, somebody with a name like Barack Hussein Obama, who is... A man of color who talks about talking with foreign governments before you bomb them?
How about these lightning? So much lightning. Guess what? I think the Thunder Beings are welcoming us to the purification. I believe it's now in coming in full bloom, what Rolling Thunder called the coming purification.
Yeah, well, I would rather not be purified that way. Let me do some Metamucil and, you know, let the lightning, you know, for something else, right? All right, thanks, Nora.
How about my beloved Keith Ellison, congressman?
Yeah, he's doing great, isn't he?
He stood up there for 4 hours listening to the entire 35 articles. And
he was actually in the House chamber.
He was the Speaker pro tem.
Oh, okay. He was
up
the guy
there with his golden yellow tie. You know, he sat with Dennis at the Dalai Lama's award. They sat together with Betty McCollum from St. Paul, but I saw them in the audience together. So I could feel the Dalai Lama's presence while this act was taking place.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. That's great. Nora, thank you. I appreciate you checking in, okay?
Oh, thank you, Michael.
All right.
Bye now.
All right. Take care. Have we got time? Are the phones screwing up again? You want to try Patricia? Hey, Patricia, in Hollywood, Florida, listening on WINZ.
Hi, Mike. I've listened to you for like 5 years, 6 years, all the way through Air America, and I do home health, so I'm just like on the road all the time. So here I am. But
well, thank you. Thank you for doing that.
You're welcome. Listen, I'm just very depressed about this whole impeachment thing. I listened to parts of it on your program, and then I tuned in on C-SPAN.
Right.
I don't have a computer. I faxed a letter of gratitude immediately to Dennis Kucinich. I faxed a letter to Wasserman Schultz, like, when are you going to do your job?
Mm-hmm.
And then another one to Nancy Pelosi and to John Conyers. And I did this again in 2007 when the whole thing happened with Cheney, and listened to Debbie Wasserman Schultz say all these like ridiculous, appalling things. I don't understand. I just really don't understand how you can have someone do things that are incredibly criminal over and over and over and over again. And like, I've heard people on the radio call this political theater. What he did.
Uh-huh.
That's what they call it. And I don't know. I'm just really depressed. I was just wondering what you think it would take. And I, the other thing is, like, you know, I have a niece, actually a niece-in-law, who works for a Democratic congressman. Mm-hmm. And there is a party line that she spouts out. I used to actually like her. About, you know, elections change things. Middle of the road people would never go for impeachment. That'll be divisive. You know, that kind of thing. And I don't get it. I don't understand.
I think it's because we have all been beaten about the head and shoulders by the lies and corruption, primarily of the Republican Party, but also certain elements of the Democratic Party. And I can understand why a lot of people are just saying to hell with it. You know, don't try to make change. Don't try, you know, it's all the same. And I can't go there. Not yet, Patricia. Hey, listen, we're out of time. Thanks for checking in, okay?
Okay.
All right, take care. All right, you
Bye-bye.
Too. I'll see you tomorrow night, Truth Seekers. Take care, okay? Seriously, take care. And keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio.